Welcome to our Memories of School series of part of the Bowden Education podcast. In these podcasts, we'll be asking people to think back to their school days and the memories, both good and bad, that they have. In this edition of Memories of School, I'm speaking to Dr. Virginia Bauer. Virginia currently works in higher education in the areas of education and teacher training. Virginia's research interests and expertise are in the area of primary English and English as an additional language, and she's written widely on these topics, most recently editing Debates in Primary Education. Virginia is also co-founder of Bowden Education and is passionate about the need for all teachers to be able to access regular, high-quality, research-informed professional development. Virginia's education career, however, started as a primary school teacher, moving to deputy head before moving into her current role in academia. Welcome, Virginia, and thank you for joining us. I hope you're ready to go back to school.
Thank you, Catherine. I think I am, although slightly nervous.
Well, let's see. So thinking back to your school days, what memories stand out for you?
It depends really whether I think back to primary school or secondary school. So memories of primary school are really positive. And just had a great time, really, because it was... It's strange, really, when I think back, because it was a school in the worst socially deprived area of the town I was living in. And when I think back to the children I was socialising with and the families that we were involved with and the wonderful time I had, it really makes me think about in my own life as a working in education, whether it's as a teacher or whether it's working with students in higher education, how important it is to bring those things to the fore, because I can remember having the most wonderful time. But when I think back, these children were really from... were living at high levels of poverty in comparison to me, who really had quite a privileged background. And yet we all got on so well. It was just wonderful. My memories of friendships are really strong. And other things that I remember as well as the children are the grounds. We were really lucky because there was the most amazing big playground, a huge playing field, an outdoor swimming pool. And this was, as I say, in a really socially deprived area. But when I think of the resources and the environments that some schools now have, which have been limited to, you know, tiny playgrounds and very little outdoor space, it was amazing, really. And we had huge sports days and loads of people turned up for sports days, huge community feel to it. The outdoor swimming pool I absolutely loved. I can remember it as absolutely freezing always. Never anything other than freezing. But it was just brilliant. And I can still picture it in my mind. I can still picture every part of that primary school. And the other thing I really remember is I've never been heavily into classical music, but I enjoyed classical music and I recognized loads of classical music, pieces of music, but I wouldn't know what they were. I wouldn't be able to name composers, but it was because our headmaster, every assembly, we had an assembly every morning, and always at the beginning of the end of the assembly, he always played classical music. So whenever I hear it, it brings back memories, but I wouldn't know, as I say, what it was. Secondary school, no, not as positive. I really very much disliked it. I went to a grammar school. I have no idea how, because I have no idea of sitting the test. Clearly, I must have passed it. But I was very much going in at the bottom of the academic scale, or sort of bottom edging maybe towards middle. And my overriding memory is we did 2 years of French, and then after 2 years, they gave you the option. Well, it wasn't an option. No, it wasn't. They said anyone who was basically intelligent did Latin, and those that weren't did German. So I did German. And I absolutely loved it. That was one of the best things of secondary school, because we had a brilliant teacher. She was absolutely excellent. But I always think of that as well in terms of, you know, what does that do to student self-esteem to know that you're doing that particular subject because you are deemed to be less intelligent than your peers? I don't remember worrying too much about it, but when I look back, I think it's horrendous.
Yeah, and did they make that quite explicit, or is that your people's interpretation? You know how there were kind of little rumour mills and saying, oh, well, it is those people that do that, or was it quite clear from the school that?
Very clear.
Oh, right, okay.
Mm. And of course, you know, people sometimes say, don't they, well, children aren't aware of the sets that they're in, or the labels that are put on groups. But of course, children are hugely aware. So we also knew that, of course, all our peers who we knew were the ones that were always getting the high grades, they were all doing Latin. So that was that.
Yeah, I think that's a myth, isn't it, that people aren't aware, because I can remember my own son asking me why he wasn't in the best group or the top group for something, and I think he was in year one. Yeah. And so I encouraged him to ask his teacher why he wasn't on the top table for, and they know exactly. So at year one, so I think people do. But that's interesting, isn't it, that people say you're not clever, yet you're already in a selective system. So even the selective system itself can
select again.
Mm.
What a disappointing way to view education and learning.
Yeah. And based upon whether you did Latin or German, it's interesting as well. So overall, then, if you could sum up, how were your experiences of school? So you've told us some key memories. And interesting, I think, you know, listening to you, primary was very much about events and physical artifacts in the school. Like you talked about the swimming pool, you talked about the classical music that played and your friends. Whereas secondary school, you seemed to talk much more subject specific. So you enjoyed German because of the teacher, and they're kind of slightly different memories.
They are, you're right. And I think it's with secondary school, with the subjects, it hugely depended on the teachers that were teaching those subjects. Now, that was also true in terms of primary, that I can remember wonderful year groups where obviously you stick with the same teacher, and had some wonderful teachers, and then one that wasn't such a positive experience. But of course, in secondary, with all that, the range of teachers that you have, you really recognise when teachers are very strong, particularly when I look back on it and think, well, why did I really love German? And I really loved German for the first 2 years, I think I did it, and really became quite adept at it, I think. And then that teacher left and we had another teacher, and things went rapidly downhill. And that's disappointing when I look back. But yes, I think it's about the subjects and the way they were delivered in school. I can remember history lessons, the whole lesson was just dictation, and we just wrote down what the teacher said. It wasn't all negative at secondary, and I can remember the experience that stays in my mind in terms of the most amazing experience, really, and probably what put me on the trail of where I maybe ended up, is when our English teacher said, I'm going to read you all something, you won't understand it, you won't know what I'm talking about, just sit and listen. And she read Chaucer in the way that Chaucer should be read, and you could have heard a pin drop. None of us knew what the meaning of this was, but she read it so beautifully, and we were, I mean, to sort of hold a class of annoying teenage girls in the palm of your hand for, you know, 20 minutes or so, is quite incredible, I think. And I really enjoyed then going on to understand what the meaning was behind the stories. So that was really good. And I think my other really strong memory of secondary school was the sport. Again, we were really lucky because we had amazing sporting facilities, a wonderful field, one tennis courts, grass and hard tennis courts. I mean, it's unheard of now, I'd say, in a lot of state schools, secondary state schools. The facilities, we had long jump pit, high jump pits, and we just spent, certainly the group of friends I was with, we just spent every moment out of class when we could get out of class in using those facilities. So I would say that my abiding memories and experiences were based around, as you say, more the environment maybe. And looking back with hindsight, yes, the teaching and the pedagogy, the good and the bad, but definitely environments were really, it's what I picture when I think of school.
And there are those standout things because my primary school also had a very cold swimming pool. But how lucky, and they still do, I believe, but how lucky to have that experience that you're not necessarily enjoying at the time when you stood waiting in the winter or on the cold days like today. So if I was to say to you then, to sum up this section, and we always say, oh, enjoy school to children. It's the best years of your life. Were they the best years of your life?
Not secondary, no. And primary, I mean, they were good, but no, I've had much better years since. and secondary, definitely. I only have really, apart from the few instances, mainly in my mind, it's negative. And it's things like when I finished my A-levels, and I did English A-levels one, and I can remember not wanting to pick up a book for 2, 3, 4 years afterwards, where I was so disenchanted with literature. And so... No, I, to be honest, what I mainly wanted to do was finish school. I would have finished at 16, but my parents said to me, look, you want to be a horse riding instructor, which is all I wanted to do, and which indeed I did do for 10 years, no, 15 years probably, and still do at times. If you want to do that, then you need to stay at school, do your A-levels, and then you can study your horse riding exams at the same time. So that was the incentive. If I stayed, I could do two alongside each other. And then the moment we'd finished the syllabus for A-levels and we could escape, and I did actually escape probably quite a few times when I should have been in there, but that's beside the point. Then I was off and I was starting to teach at 17 horse riding, and but I did my A-levels. I got my horse riding qualification at the youngest possible age, which was 17 and 6 months. And that's all I wanted to do. And then until I decided to do a degree at the age of 27, when my body started to give out in terms of being able to ride horses for 4 or 5 hours a day.
Okay, we're going to move on to look at influences in a bit. But in a nutshell, did you do well at school, though?
Enough to get me into a degree course. But I would say by today's standards, when I hear about all the whole raft of A-levels that students do, I think I did two and a general studies. And I can't even remember what my grades were. But no, I would say I was really probably in the lower bracket at the grammar school, that was for sure. I didn't feel I ever did well, but I didn't care either. It was of no interest to me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But clearly all this time, you've kind of had all the time when you said you're in the lower band in at grammar school, there has been this rumbling kind of cognitive ability, shall we say, cognitive intelligence, because now, and I know when we haven't got time to talk about later education, really, because this is about school, but you know, you have got a PhD, and we are talking to Dr. Virginia Bauer. In a word, how would some of your use a few words that you feel that if you went back and told your teachers, if they remembered you, how would they feel about that? How would they react?
Amazed, I think. Amazed just sums it up, because I showed no interest. I'm sure I didn't make their life easy either. And they could see that at that stage, academic life was never going to, well, they would have thought was never going to be the path I trod. And I would have agreed with them.
Yeah, I was going to say that, what would the 17-year-old Virginia say if I said to her, in a good few years' time, you're going to achieve your doctorate and you're going to be working in academia?
I'd have said, what's a doctorate? What's academia? No thanks, if I knew what it meant.
Okay. So let's think back then, because I think this is really fascinating. Was there someone, though, at school, in your school career, maybe a teacher, it might be someone else, though, who had a great influence on you, who maybe influences your thinking now, or had an impact on how you live your life or the decisions that you made? Do you have an influencer?
I think it was probably the PE teacher at secondary school, in terms of very, very positive, very strict character, but really positive. But what she was very good at, and what I think I try and do in all my teaching, she was very good at opening up opportunities and possibilities and saying, you can do this. You need to really work hard. You need to train really hard. So she found there were a few of us that were very interested in cycling at that time, before cycle racing was a thing that anybody really did, apart from if you were in the Tour de France, and certainly women didn't normally do. And of course, it was an all girls grammar school. And she said, no, great, you're all interested, we'll get a team together. And that's what she did. She pushed us, she trained us, my dad helped as well. And we went to the nationals, and I was the under 12 national cycling champion way back in the day. But that was because she said, you can do this, you can do and be anything you want to be. Mm-hmm. And she was the motivator, but she was also the one that enabled it to happen, the enabler, I suppose. And again, I can still picture her and hear her voice, and that I'd say is a huge influence in terms of what you can get students to believe about themselves.
Yeah, and she might not be with us anymore, of course, but what was her name?
Mrs. Brown.
We can give her a shout out. Well, there are many Mrs. Browns, not very unique. Mm, but,
I know.
So Mrs. Brown was your influencer. And do you think, because I think it's fascinating, isn't it? Do we lean towards our influencers maybe because, say, you liked sport and had an interest in sport, therefore you went to PE, you enjoyed it because you enjoy the subject? Or was it, do you think, much more about her as a person and her being this kind of, you can achieve anything? And actually, if Mrs. Brown was your geography teacher, you'd have still seen Mrs. Brown as an influencer. Or do you think it's a combination? Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. It's probably a combination, but I do think she was the type of teacher, because it's interesting that you mentioned geography, because I absolutely loathed it, and the teacher was not somebody I got on with at all. So, and it's such a shame, because actually, when I think about geography, I love everything about geography. I loved teaching geography in primary school. So it wasn't about my lack of motivation. So I think you're right. The teacher has a huge impact on your motivation and desire to learn more and more deeply about something.
And there is sometimes just a connection that you have with, you know,
definitely,
personality connection, and they kind of guide you. And I think they're the ones that you do feel, aren't they, that are rooting for you.
Mm.
And kind of sometimes smooth things over when things aren't going well, or show a report a shinier side of you than perhaps is the truth, or something like that. And I think those people in life are so important. And in school, I'm sure we've all got a Mrs. Brown in our own lives.
Let's hope so.
As well. So finally, my last question, it's a biggie, and I think it's a tricky question in some ways, but if I gave you a magic wand and you could go back and change something about school, just one thing, what would it be and why?
I think it would be pedagogy, really, in terms of the pedagogy that I experienced looking back. So you have to think that I'm looking back as somebody who is very, very interested in pedagogy and thinks about it all the time in terms of my own practice. And when I look back and think of the very poor pedagogy that teachers were, and I hate to say this, but in a way getting away with, because we were very compliant girls, I don't think that's good enough. And I hugely resent, how many years are you in secondary school? 11 to 7 years?
7 years if you stay for sixth form, yeah.
And I have an absolute love of learning. And that was pretty much knocked back for many, many years. So I think, if I could change anything, I'd have gone to a school where pedagogy, powerful pedagogy, and the needs of the learners and the individual aspects of the learners was taken into consideration.
Okay. And going back, sort of, I know it's hard at this age, but did you have a voice in the school that you went to, or did you just go with the flow? Is it what your parents wanted you to go to grammar? So for those listening, we should just identify that in some areas of the country in England, there are still grammar school systems. In most areas, there are not. However, in some counties where there are, and grammar schools are a selective education system that, in a nutshell, cream off approximately the top 20% of children within an area to go to what's deemed a grammar school. Others then go to the non-selectives. So whereby you have a grammar system in an area, you certainly do not have a comprehensive system running beside. It is a selective and non-selective system, quite often with the tests taken at the beginning now of year six for children, and they are around sort of basically English, maths, or problem solving skills, so IQ type testing, and it is based upon those tests that selection of being grammar suitable or not is made for those children, just to clarify that, because not everyone will be aware of grammar school. So how involved were you in the decision to grammar school or not?
Not at all, really. No, I wouldn't have expected to have been. It was the done thing that you took the test. If you passed, you went. That was it.
And looking back, do you think you would have thrived or had a more positive experience, shall we say, at non-selective? I know you don't know this.
No.
You know, I'm talking hypothetically.
Really difficult to say, to be honest, because I was not the easiest of students, so I probably wouldn't have been the easiest of students wherever I'd gone. I think school just wasn't for me as a teenager. If I could have gone to school at 18, or later, which I suppose in a way that's exactly what I did, going back to university at 27. But school was not for me. There were far more exciting and interesting things to do in life, because I was lucky enough to have parents who made life very interesting and exciting outside of school. So school was just a way of spending the day so I could get home and do the things I wanted to do. So no, I suspect I would have disliked any secondary school I went to.
So it's not so much potentially about the wrong place, but most certainly for you about the wrong time.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
You'd have done better going later.
Mm.
Having a break in the middle to do some horsey stuff.
Yes.
Come back a bit later on. So go to do primary, go off, do your horsey stuff, and then come back at about 18 and start your secondary education.
Mm, that would have been ideal, I think.
That would have suited you down to the ground. Excellent. Anything else before we finish off that you really feel that you gained or otherwise from school? Any abiding memory? Do you have any school friends still? Or
no, it's a tricky one, really. It's something that I think I've kind of put to one side. And I am pleased I sat the A-levels to enable me to move into what I wanted to do later on. That is, I am hugely thankful to my parents for insisting on that. But I think because school wasn't particularly a happy time, I haven't really kept up friendships either, because the memories are not ones that I would wish to bring back. So, yeah. Interesting.
It's been fascinating to talk to you and take you back to school, Virginia, today. And I think the moral for me of this story is that actually school success and enjoyment doesn't necessarily pave the path for your future at all. And that irrespective of whether you enjoyed or thrived in school, you still very much can have a highly successful future, maybe even in the areas of education. So thank you so much for sharing your school memories with us today.
No problem. Thank you.